Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast.
I come to work with two hands every day and I'm trying to bless somebody.
We better be in Florida. It better be sunny. And there better be some sort of fruity drink involved.
With Matt Harmon.
It seems like you know ball the way you talk, so.
Thank you. Someone clip that.
You can get on a podcast. You can get online. You can argue with the clouds. You can argue with the Russian bots. Don't care.
It's Friday, November 4th. That means it's time to preview an exciting and kind of mysterious Week 9 slate because we have a ton of teams on buys this week. We've got the Browns, the Cowboys, the Broncos, the Giants, the Steelers, the 49ers. Oh my God, that is a lot of crucial teams in fantasy football. So joining me to preview this mysterious slate is a first time co-host on the Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast. It's Marvin Eloquin. He's been doing some awesome work for us on the site this year. And I was like, all right, enough already. Time to bring him on the pod. Let's go. Marvin, welcome to the show, buddy. How's it going?
It's going well, man. Thanks for having me. This kind of feels like a full circle moment. You were talking earlier that, you know, I was on your guys' community show on Sunday, right? The Fantasy Community Show. 2 years ago, and now I get to be here, you know, writing for you guys and chat some football for the next hour. So I'm pumped to be here.
Hell yeah, man. No promises. I won't keep you longer than the hour, by the way. No promises.
That's fine.
Also joining me, Dalton Del Don. Dalton, two times this week you get to talk to me, basically living your dream.
What's up, guys? Yeah, it doesn't even feel like a week really worth talking about with the 49ers on bye, but we'll power through it. We'll get it done.
We will get it done. All right, let's dive right into it. We, as we always do with these weekly previews, I'll throw it to the guys to tell us the one thing they think is really, really important about this individual game on, you know, either side of it. And of course, we'll just end up talking about the whole damn game. Anyways, we'll start with Chargers at Falcons, 49.5 over under. Feels like this game could be a really interesting one for fantasy and potentially an exciting back and forth affair. Marvin, what do the people need to know about this game?
Yeah, I mean, without Mike Williams and Keenan Allen, I think this could be the Gerald Everett week where the Falcons are, you know, they're weak against the wide receiver position too, but also against the tight end position. They're 25th against fantasy tight ends. And Gerald Everett has been a solid streamer or even a starter if you've had him every single week for the season so far. A top 12 tight end in 4 of 7 weeks, averaging 6.4 opportunities per game, which isn't, you know, anything massive. But at the tight end position, that's actually a lot better than most guys you can grab off waivers right now. So if you have him, you know, he needs to be in your lineup, especially with potentially the top two wide receivers out. He might just be the guy that Justin Herbert goes to for this game.
I love it. I have Gerald Everett as my starting tight end. I'm sort of platooning him and Greg Dulcich because I lost David Njoku. So I feel pretty good about you saying that. So thanks. Appreciate it, Marvin. That's the point of the show, is for you to come on here and make me feel better about my teams. Dalton, I don't have a lot of Josh Palmer teams because, you know, I have some feelings there. But regardless, you tell me about these other guys here in L.A. that we need to pay attention to.
Yeah, I know you're not a big Palmer fan, but I mean, he's just going to benefit here with Williams and Keenan Allen out. Also, Donald Parham, a possibly cheap DFS option if he's cleared to play here, because there's just no options here with those two main guys down. And I promise not to bring up DVOA too much. I don't even love that stat, to be honest, but it's a quick and dirty one. And over the last month, the Falcons are dead last in DVOA defensively. So It's tied for the highest over-under this matchup indoors. So, yeah, I mean, Austin Eckler is going to catch a million passes, but any leftovers should theoretically go to Palmer, maybe a little DeAndre Carter. And certainly I agree with the Everett play. He's I think, my third ranked tight end this week.
Marvin, we talked about Cordero Patterson potentially coming back for this game on the Stat Nerd show yesterday. What are your expectations for Falcons running backs in this game against the Chargers defense that gives up the highest yards per carry in the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, it just makes things a little more complicated. It might be more of a three-back committee at this point, which obviously, you know, doesn't help any of the fantasy managers out there. But Cordero Patterson obviously has that big playability. And so if they use him as a receiver, we know targets more valuable for running backs in general for fantasy purposes. So he's the guy. If he's there and he's healthy and he's active, I think you can play him as a flex option. But I think the floor is just going to be a little lower this time around with his first game back in a while.
Yeah, he said he was about 90%. I'll take 90% CPAT in this backfield that has been really good, producing fantasy, or not producing fantasy efficiency, but overall rushing efficiency. And some of these guys, it's just been a little tough to pick week to week. One word answer from both of you. Kyle Pitts, in the circle of trust. Dalton, start with you.
No, I wish.
Marvin, Kyle Pitts, circle of trust.
Not yet. It's getting there, but man, it's just been too inconsistent over the last couple of weeks.
Oh boy. I'm going to chance him in my dynasty league that I've got him in, where I got that 1 week right with Taysom Hill when as a replacement tight end, and then every other week I've guessed it wrong. So that'll be a fun journey for me. Let's move on to the next game.
You know, for what it's worth, he showed up crazy low in our 538 thing we were talking about as far as getting open. I quickly looked at that, and he was like dramatically looked bad for that metric. For I don't know, that surprised me, and it's probably meaningless and small sample and all that. But that was one thing that stuck out to me.
I actually would recommend a great video people check out. Brett Coleman's YouTube channel. He does a great, a lot of great film breakdowns. I was watching his video on Kyle Pitts yesterday while in the home gym, and he does a great job breaking down actually a great concept. I promise I won't go too deep on here, but just the concept of like why bootlegs aren't like designed boots and rollouts and stuff for quarterbacks, why those aren't as efficient as they were 4 or 5 years ago. Because a lot of the same stuff that we railed on Matt Canada and the Steelers offense yesterday, Dalton, how the NFL has changed, like defenses have changed from where we were at 4 or 5 years ago. So great stuff on that overall. And he talked a lot, basically the whole video is about Kyle Pitts and why he's not producing and all the factors there. So we'll definitely go and check that out in kind of conjunction with that stat that you talked about there, Dalton. But let's move on to the next game here. NFC North battle, Packers at Lions, another 49.5 over under. Marvin, the Packers did not make a big deal for a wide receiver at the trade deadline. I'm so shocked. I can't believe it. What a twist. So what does that mean for the guys still left behind on this Green Bay roster?
You know, I think it means Romeo Doubs' second half season. Let's go. He might just be their guy at this point with Watson struggling with injuries. We'll see if Lazard suits up. But an interesting fact about the Lions defense, the teams have averaged the highest ADOT against them over the entire season so far. Lions defense has allowed the highest net yards per attempt. And we saw here Dubs coming off his best game so far. You know, he had the second highest target share of the season for him, 24.1%, season high 55.6% of the air yards, which is absolutely absurd. I mean, when they were targeting, hoping for a big play, they were targeting him. We saw that touchdown anyways, and some of those longer receptions. I mean, that's his game. And so in this matchup, I think he's someone who you can start and trust as a flex option, potentially even wide receiver too.
Yeah, I like that call a lot. Romeo Doubs, not like a great separator or anything like that at this point, but they kind of need to just let him rip downfield a little bit. That you're right, that is his game. Weirdly, like when he was having a lot of success in his first few weeks as a featured asset in that offense, it was mostly on shorter passes. Like, let's get him open real quick and just sort of start to build that timing and chemistry. But you're right, his best plays come when he's down the field in contested situations. And it's just great to see that. And I think everybody expected him to be the guy that Rodgers was like hyper focusing on when we talked on the Pat McAfee show, like we need to start cutting reps or whatever. But he had the highest route participation on the team last week, and that might obviously be due to Alan Lazard, you know, being banged up. He might come back in this game. Obviously, Randall Cobb out, and like enough already with Sammy Watkins. Like, you know, we're way past that point. So there's a lot of factors at play there, but I do think Romeo Doubs makes for a good play in this one. Dalton, who else in this matchup is a good play in fantasy?
Let's talk Amon-Ra St. Brown, who should really benefit from all the injuries. Detroit, well, TJ Hawkinson getting traded. Brock Wright might not be available here for tight ends. So if you want a deep sleeper at tight end, James Mitchell, add him in Dynasty as well. But Josh Reynolds is now
questionable. Who are those dudes? Who
they're
those
the tight ends on the guys replacing Hawkinson. But for most fantasy managers, Amon-Ra, the sun god, is the guy to pay attention to now. DeAndre Swift did return to practice, but he's now questionable to even play. Clearly not going to be 100% if he is there. The Lions are averaging 3.3 more touchdowns when playing at home this season. So Amon-Ra looks like a borderline top five fantasy wideout this week in PPR formats. Will's up with him. And, you know, all these touchdowns are going to Jamal Williams, Jared Goff. They're really due for some scores through the air. St. Brown actually hasn't led the Lions in receiving since week two, but I think he's finally healthy, hopefully recovered from that ankle injury with the extra week off, dealing with the concussion symptoms. So you got to love him this week, even though the Packers admittedly have defended receivers pretty well.
Yeah, they have a pretty good pass defense. But I think that Jair Alexander is a really good cornerback. I'm not 100% sure about everybody. I mean, Marvin, you're a Packers fan, right?
I am, yeah.
Rough
outdated
situation with
Packers jersey.
Yeah,
the
outdated Davante Adams jersey there. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. But what are your kind of thoughts on this defense right now? Because they're still struggling from a rushing efficiency standpoint. Jair Alexander, good player. I don't love how he was like chirping back and forth with Steph Diggs so much in that game when it's like, I mean, dude, you're losing and Diggs is having a great game. Even if it's not on you, like, I don't know, pal. But anyways, this defense, where is it exploitable? Where can you attack it? And where are the weak points here?
Yeah, I definitely think it's they're giving up a lot of those big plays, and that's just, you know, the theme of their defense is that they can kind of contain you, but they'll eventually break, right? They'll have those big plays, and we saw that with, you know, Gabe Davis didn't really have that game, but Stephon Diggs, I mean, was torching them left and right. And granted, it wasn't against Jair Alexander, so I do think the exploitable spot is that, you know, cornerback, that second cornerback, that slot cornerback, if that's not Jair, if they don't move him in there. I think, you know, with Amon-Ra being moved around, I love that call because I think he'll be, you know, he's a good wide receiver. He'll get open. And so I wouldn't be surprised if there were other wide receivers here. While it's not necessarily the deepest, most talented wide receiver core in Detroit, there's going to be some big plays there outside of Amon-Ra too.
Yeah, just not 100% like I was sure where they'd go, I guess, Josh Reynolds, etc. But we shall see. Let's move on to next game here. Dolphins, 5-point favorites in Chicago, 45.5 over under. Marvin, I'll start with you again. Justin Fields has been on fire of late, and it seems like the Bears, you know, realize it too. They go out and I mean I'm not the biggest Chase Claypool fan in the world, but they're like, all right, let's get a receiver in here right now so we can continue to see Justin Fields develop, so we know how much to bet on him going forward.
Yeah, I'm all in on Justin Fields, honestly, and wrote an article last week for the site and highlighted Justin Fields as, you know, we're in the midst of that Justin Fields breakout for fantasy. And I checked the comments like hours later, and there was just so much hate on Justin Fields. I honestly don't get it, but I suppose from a fantasy,
Marvin, let me give you a piece of advice.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Don't read, never read the comments. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, yep. you're writing for a big site like Yahoo. You don't want to know what's going on in those comments. Okay.
Rookie mistake.
Your Twitter mentions are bad enough.
Noted. But back to Justin Fields. I honestly think he could be a QB1 the rest of the way. And he's been the QB6 in fantasy points per game since week 6, QB3 in rushing share. And that's the key, right? That's all really for fantasy. That's what we care about. And he's only behind Kyler Murray and Josh Allen in that metric. QB3 in air yards per attempt. Since week 6, we're seeing here that the more aggressive pass nature when they're passing the ball, it's not, you know, as often as some of the other teams, but when they do, he's throwing it downfield. But the EPA pass per pass attempt is still in the negative there for Justin Fields. So there's still room for improvement. But the fact that they're adding Chase Claypool, that they're kind of opening up this offense for him to really, you know, run the ball, it can only mean good things for his fantasy upside. So I'm all in. And I think he has a pretty decent schedule going forward. I'm fine starting him most weeks.
100%. And, you know, the receivers right now, again, they're bringing in Chase Claypool. I have no idea how much they'll play Chase Claypool, like, in his first game with the team. But I am really curious to see how he's deployed, because I think he's best served as a big slot receiver. I don't think he's physical enough. I don't think he's a good enough route runner to win as the X receiver, despite the fact that, like, from a size standpoint, he would be that guy. But Dalton, like, Darnell Mooney has actually lined up in the slot on 48.5% of his snaps this season. Talk to me about how he projects this week.
Okay. Well, first, I just want to say that Mooney's such a good example of stats can be misleading. He ranks 11th in target share this year. Yeah. And Chase Claypool has more targets than him. That is just a funny stat. I kind of like Mooney this week against a pass funnel Miami defense with Claypool probably not ready, you know, to play full complement of snaps. And Mooney's clearly the number one guy there. But mainly, I just want to piggyback on what Marvin said. And I'm just all in on Justin Fields as well. I ranked him so aggressively this week, 6th ahead of Justin Herbert, because I wanted to make a statement and how much I'm in on Fields moving forward. On pace for more than 900 rushing yards. They're using play action more. They figured it out in that mini bye in the 10 days off in Thursday. And yeah, here's a guy with this crazy pedigree, and he was drafted high for a reason, and now he's getting the cheat code done with his legs and fantasy. So what's not to like, man? I'm really, when he's doing that in Dallas, you know, when he pressure rate there, it's notable, even though they was throwing touchdowns, you know, with the game maybe out of hand. I don't know. I'm really in on Fields moving forward. I think he's a top 10 fantasy QB, as I said on our pod yesterday, and this week is a great matchup at home, and it looks like the weather's going to cooperate from what I last looked. Like, there was some scare at first. The Bears, by the way, play way better defense at home too. So I'm calling an upset here too. I think Chicago wins this outright.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah, Luke Getsy heard Ryan Fitzpatrick and the boys ripping him up after that Thursday night game against the Washington Commanders. He's like, I don't want that ever again. I'm not trying to get flamed by Fitzpatrick on primetime television. Let me go ahead and change my offense to not be just a straight drop back game and be a little more Justin Fields friendly. Dalton, no 49ers this week. So we can talk about like 49ers East here in the backfield with the Miami Dolphins, just to give you a little hit of what you need there, talking about San Francisco, because obviously we know, we talked a little bit about the trade yesterday with Jeff Wilson going to Miami and everything. Like, the passing game is just so clear in Miami, which is great. Like, Tua is playing extremely well. We know the two receivers are balling out, just deep merchants at this point. But the backfield, like Raheem Mostert kind of coming off a disappointing game against the Lions when people, you know, myself included, expected that to be like kind of a smash spot. How do we feel about Mostert coming into this week with Jeff Wilson coming over, but probably not likely to play a huge, huge role right away?
I think it's a great start for Mostert this week. As you said, Wilson will probably not play a huge role right away. The Bears allowed the fourth most fantasy points to running backs. They're easily the highest run rate against them in the league. So yeah, when Mostert's healthy, you know, no guarantee he'll stay healthy, but when he is, usually he's productive, last week notwithstanding. So I really like him in this matchup.
Yeah, he's here for a good time, not a long time, is Raheem Mostert. So let's enjoy the ride while it's here. Raiders at Jaguars, 48 over under. Marvin, everybody wants to hear about Travis Etienne. You know, I put my rest of season rankings out, and that was like the first one I heard about was, okay, Etienne got to be a little bit higher. How do we feel about him in this matchup and going forward rest of season? Like, is he a top 12 running back? Is he a top 10 running back? Is he a top, you know, get close to kind of like top 8 or 5? Or what are we doing here with Travis Etienne?
Yeah, I think he's in that RB5 to RB10 range, and I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up finishing closer to that RB5 spot, just because he's always been talented, right? I mean, going back to Clemson, he was a great prospect coming out of Clemson, and it just was a matter of obviously the injuries coming back from that, and then the opportunities finally, you know, being there, and it took a trade for that to happen. But here we are over the last 2 weeks, 79.5% of the snaps, 71.7% of the rushing attempts for the whole team, 11.3% target share, which, you know, it's not necessarily elite target share, right? It's not Eckler or Alvin Kamara, but it's enough for RB1 numbers, in my opinion. And he's been the RB6 in expected fantasy points. So his volume has him as a top six running back. And really, with that also, he's just been hyper efficient too, 3.8 fantasy points above expected per game. That's, you know, that's recipe for RB1 production. And so, you know, I'm all in for the Travis Etienne RB1 experience. And I think that's what we're going to get here, at least for this game and probably for the rest of the season.
For the folks that are not familiar with your column that you're writing for Yahoo and your work in general, Marvin, can you just give like a quick explainer of the fantasy points, you know, expected model and everything you're doing on the site?
Yeah, for sure. So just, you know, a quick recap of that is that expected fantasy points is a breakdown of every, you know, the value of their total opportunity. So whether it's a target, a rush attempt, you know, those are all valued differently for fantasy purposes, and whether they're closer to the end zone, further away, if they're a deep pass or not, all of that, I kind of run it through a model and it gets you this expected fantasy points number that gives you an idea of what their fantasy production should be at average efficiency, with their volume, right? And so anything above that would be points above expected, anything below that as points below expected naturally. But we care about that expected fantasy points number because that's usually a signal for sustainable fantasy production. And the fact that Travis Etienne here is the RB6 over the last 2 weeks tells you like that could be his kind of average floor. Now, it will obviously fluctuate. It'll have worse weeks and better weeks. But with that also comes then that potential upside of being a top three running back. And that's so valuable for fantasy, obviously.
Yeah, it's great stuff. Everybody should read Marvin's weekly column on yahoosports.com. Obviously, Dalton, another big running back that people had kind of thought had cemented himself in that top five, top eight range is Josh Jacobs. Just an embarrassing, disgusting performance from the Raiders in general last week against the Saints. But you see that this is a spot where Jacobs at least can get right.
Yeah, I like Jacobs as a bounce back here and a DFS option. The Raiders have performed disastrously on the road, but he's actually getting better yards per carry, 5.9 away. There's a real chance Jacksonville's the team sluggish this week coming from just playing a London game. Where the Raiders, I like buying low after F performances, which we just saw. Then before that, last week, Jacobs had totaled 523 yards, 6 touchdowns over the previous 3 games. The Jags have actually allowed the third most catches and receiving yards to running back. So I like the matchup as well. So expect a big bounce back from Jacobs.
How do we feel about the pass catchers in this matchup too? Because, you know, Christian Kirk has been pretty good throughout the course of the season, but some rockier weeks of late, you know, 3 catches, 40 yards against the Broncos. He has 7 catches for 96 yards against the Giants. Obviously has 4 for 24, does get that late touchdown against the Colts. Christian Kirk against this Raiders defense, which is, I mean, not very good. Secondary, especially, not very good. This does feel like a week to get Christian Kirk in the lineups. And then on the Raiders side, guys, like, I'm sure in the expected fantasy points model, Marvin, like, Devontae Adams looks really good. The results haven't been quite as sexy as the process has been for Adams this year. But like everybody else in Las Vegas, like Hunter Renfro, toast, Darren Waller, you know, who even knows when he's going to play again. It's just these receivers, I feel like, are kind of a more murkier situation than either of the two running backs.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know if you can really trust any of these receivers. And like you said, it's really just Devontae Adams and that's it. So obviously, if you're trying to bank on any of these guys, and especially with Darren Waller, I'm not even sure if he's going to be active or not. That's going to be the big one. It's hard, like you said, it's hard to trust any of these guys, especially from the Raiders side. I'm not sure I have the guts to play any of them in any of my lineups right now.
No, I don't think I do either. But Dalton, I do think this is a good bounce back spot for Christian Kirk. Like, the volume is mostly there every single week, and you know, the results have been a little varying of late, but for the most part, Kirk has been good all year.
Yeah, I'm treating him as a top 30 fantasy wideout this week. And I also really like Evan Engram this week, too. You're starting him in the tight end landscape, too, given his recent usage. Man, Devontae Adams missed practice again Wednesday, dealing with this illness that clearly limited him last week. So, and Waller may not play. So Jacobs is looking at 30-plus touches this weekend.
Yeah, it's a good call mentioning the illness for Devontae Adams. Obviously, that's probably some sort of difference maker there for him. All right, let's move on. Colts at Patriots. 39.5 over under. Oh boy, the Mac Jones Sam Ellinger shootout. That it should just be super exciting. Marvin, these wide receivers for the Indianapolis Colts with Sam Ellinger, what did you see out of his first start?
Yeah, so I think you mentioned this last week in one of the viewer shows that you were just hoping Michael Pittman would get hyper targeted, and he was. But it just didn't translate into a lot of fantasy points. He led the team in target share at 39.1%. But the guy we really want to talk about is Alec Pierce, where we've kind of seen flashes of him in the past where he's kind of been that big threat. So, you know, for him specifically, he had a 52.1% area share, which actually is close to one of his games from the previous year. And so this is kind of a trend. Like, he's that guy for them. He had a nice, you know, deep reception against man coverage, a 47-yard reception, which is always good to see. Those big plays, those are what we want. You know, if he's not getting the targets, might as well get the big plays in there. And 3 of his 5 targets had 20 air yards or more. And so that's the game that he plays. Michael Pittman will get some of those shorter targets. But, you know, if you're looking for like a dart throw, you know, granted, it's not the best quarterback situation, Pierce might be that guy for you.
I don't feel like Sam Ehlinger was that bad. I mean, the mobility was certain, like the scrambling that didn't turn into what I think a lot of fantasy folks hope for. But I do think he showed enough, like, and, you know, to Michael Pittman, I talked about this before, he gets tackled on the 1 yard line. He drops a pass on the final drive that really, like, even Ehlinger, you know, is kind of rolling his eyes at that point. Like, he really should have caught that one. So, you know, Michael Pittman, I think, will be fine. But I love the Alec Pierce call because the deep usage continued to be there. And Ehlinger, like, from an arm strength perspective right now, he's probably equal, maybe even slightly better than Matt Ryan. So I think Alec Pierce remains in sort of that, like, wide receiver four that you can throw out there if you need that big play, Hail Mary. Dalton, obviously, the backfield is the interesting thing to talk about because they just trade away Nyheim Hines. And Jonathan Taylor is still not practicing at this point. So it is Deion Jackson time.
It is. Ehlinger got 8.7 YPA even with that drop last week, so it's certainly competent. And now with Taylor missing practice Thursday, I guess he aggravated that ankle injury. Definitely a risk of missing this game. Deion Jackson was the number one PPR back in week 6. You said Hines is gone as well. I don't think Zach Moss is going to be ready for a bunch of touches. So, he secured all 10 targets. So I just expect a bunch of dump-offs. I know Ehlinger didn't target his running back during the first game, but they went extremely run-heavy, likely will be playing from behind near touchdown underdogs here. So I think Jackson, even if it's in garbage time or whatever and it doesn't look pretty, I could see him finishing as a top 15 fantasy back if Taylor does indeed miss this game.
Yeah, I like that call a lot. He's a guy that should be like 100% rostered on Yahoo leagues at this point. I'm quite sure he is not. So he definitely needs to be up there in terms of rostership. On the Patriots side of this, guys, is it, you both can, again, let's do another one word answer one here. Is this offense as simple as you play Ramondre Stevenson, who, by the way, Damian Harris not practicing today on Thursday? Is it as simple, Marvin, as play Ramondre Stevenson, play Jacoby Myers, probably depending on your receiver rotation, and log out? Is it as simple as that?
I'd say so. Yep. It's as easy as that. Those have been the most reliable pieces on that offense. So those are the guys you can trust.
Yeah, smash Stevenson. I love the 15 targets the last two weeks with Mac Jones back. I mean, he's totally taken over that passing down role. Nice, sick one-handed catch last week. Highlight reel waiting to happen. Absolutely. Yeah, I'm debating, do I rank him, you know, fifth, sixth, or seventh among my backs? He's super high.
Love that call. I would also just tell folks to keep an eye on Tyquan Thornton. You know, Devontae Parker got banged up last week. Tyquan Thornton's their, like, speed receiver. He has one catch in each of his last two games, but he did have that kind of eruption game in, against the Browns prior to that. So, and that was obviously with Bailey Zappe playing, not Mac Jones. So maybe there's something there, but just, you don't need to be playing Tyquan Thornton. You don't even necessarily need to be picking him up, but just keep an eye on him as a potential, like, sleeper for.
It's a great call with Parker out and Aguilar and Bourne seemingly in the doghouse. Yeah, no, Thornton ran all the routes once Parker left last week. And now with a week of practice, he's a great sleeper. I meant to say it. Good call, Harmon.
Oh, thank you, Dalton. I mean, Tyquan Thornton's about as skinny as you, but I do feel like he could potentially be a down the stretch type of guy for the rest of the season. All right, Bills at Jets. We'll stay in the AFC East here. Marvin, oh God, Elijah Moore. Was there anything more? This season for Elijah Moore, man, it's killing me. It's killing me because he's good. Everybody knows it. The Jets even know it. But what's going on there has just been very, very disappointing, especially last week when he runs like 7 routes or whatever it was.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at his numbers, 1 target, right? 17% of the snaps. It's surprising to me that he was not traded, and reports came out that they always planned for him to be a Jet, which, why the heck would you not play him more the week before the trade deadline? If you're going to keep him anyways, right? As it just puts them in an awkward situation.
Sending a message, baby. They're sending that message.
Yeah, I guess so. It's not good for fantasy managers, though. And so, you know, I'm curious to see if they actually play him more this week and how that affects Garrett Wilson, who had his best game of the year where they really tried to get him involved, you know, used him in motion, tried to get the ball in his hands really quickly, had a season-high 57 yards after the catch. Highest fantasy point total since his week 2 breakout. All good things, right? And so as much as I want to trust Garrett Wilson now again, or, you know, probably will take another game or two, I'm curious to see how Elijah Moore will factor in here because he's too talented to just be benched. But, you know, who knows what they're doing over there at this point.
Yeah, Corey Davis didn't practice on Wednesday, so keep that in mind. Garrett Wilson's so good too, man.
Yeah.
Garrett Wilson, like, I actually love too, that they used him, you know, like you mentioned, they used him in motion and all, you know, they're trying to make an effort to get him the ball quickly. But the last couple of weeks, he's played more on the perimeter. And I'm really interested to see if and when, like in a fantasy land where they get, you know, freaking Elijah Moore back involved here, how these dudes line up, Marvin, because earlier in the season, they were getting Garrett Wilson a lot of those layup routes, especially with the Joe Flacco offense playing a lot in the slot, and he was great. You know, he's crushing zone coverage, but he can beat press man coverage at an extremely high rate as an outside receiver. So can Elijah Moore, but you know, Garrett Wilson's a little more freakier than Elijah Moore. He's got a little bit more rare movement skills in the open field, probably better contested catch player as well. I actually think in an ideal situation, their three receiver set probably could be Garrett Wilson on the outside, Corey Davis when he's healthy on the outside, and Elijah Moore potentially as the slot guy there. And because Elijah Moore can play outside, but like they're having him play pure X receiver stuff, running the most difficult routes on the team. And that's great, but he's also a smaller player. He can do that stuff. Like maybe you maximize him more by playing him as a speed slot guy, and then everybody's happy. But of course, Dalton, that all comes back to, can the quarterback execute? And gotta tell you, after, you know, watching a lot of film on Zach Wilson to watching a lot of film on Garrett Wilson is really what I'm doing. I don't feel too great about the Zach Wilson experience right now.
Yeah, I think it's notable that Mike White surpassed Joe Flacco to be the direct backup to Zach Wilson. I think it's also notable over the last 3 weeks, the Jets defense has allowed 4.1 yards per play. That's easily the fewest in the NFL. I mean, this defense is coming on. Obviously, we wish Breece Hall didn't get hurt, but there's still so many interesting pieces here. Maybe I'm way off base with Wilson getting drafted so highly and the leash is super long. But those interceptions were just egregious last week. And yeah. Mike White, I mean, maybe the defense has figured him out or whatever, but he actually flashed at times. And if you look at his overall stats, you realize that one was just a horrible game against Buffalo, you know, who just does that to every quarterback. So I don't know. Maybe I'm off base here, but do you think that means something that he passed Flacco and they have this other, the rest of the roster is so interesting aside from quarterback?
I don't know. It's a good question because this team can definitely tell itself like it can win this year. I think it's a little bit fool's gold. Like the idea should really be like, let's develop this roster and let's see if Zach Wilson is the guy by the end of the year. But they could tell themselves like, hey, if we put Mike White in there and he is, you know, sort of what he was last year, that gives us a better chance to win than Zach Wilson does. But they've said like Zach Wilson is the quarterback and he will remain the quarterback of the New York Jets. I don't know if I buy that. Right. Like just as, you know, as they say, we're going to get Elijah Moore more involved. I don't know what to think out of the New York Jets right now. And, you know, I'm not knocking this coaching staff because I think the offense is well designed. I think it's well coached. Their quarterback can't run the offense right now at this point. He is like a guy that wants to play outside of structure, but isn't toolsy enough to play outside of structure. It's kind of similar to Baker Mayfield. I always come back to the boot out of the pocket stuff. Like as soon as he sees pressure in his face, he is out of there. He is out of that pocket and trying to like cut the field in half for himself. But he drifts so damn far back. Like I'm obsessed with this now, watching this offense as much as I have. There's no quarterback that drops deeper and makes the throws harder on himself than Zach Wilson. So I don't know, Dalton. I don't know if there is a situation where they turn to Mike White. I don't know how much I think it might make things better, but I also don't know how much of that was like a mirage last year with the whole Mike White thing.
Wilson's skinny like me, so he just may make the decision for them while suffering another injury. But just the thought of the amount of high stakes leagues in which I burnt a fifth round pick on Elijah Moore is just disgusting. I finally dropped him this week. It's gross, man. Wow, I was off on that call to say the least. I mean, he's getting Denzel Mims is playing over him. That was an embarrassing call to be in on Elijah Moore this year. Wow, I swung and missed on that one.
It has not been good. And I don't think it's anything to do with the player. I think just something's gone off there. So we'll see what happens. Let's actually talk about the good offense here for a little bit, guys. The Bills are playing in this game as well. And Dalton, you mentioned the defense in New York has been extremely good, but this is a defense, especially from like a cover three structural perspective, that has the Bills have just filleted in a couple of times recently, especially the Steph Diggs to Josh Allen connection.
Yeah, I'm sure he will again, and you're going to rank him high and use him, obviously. But Devin Singletary, you know, the Jets are allowing the third fewest yards per play at home this season, and Nyheim Hines is there now. So I don't know. Maybe that's not necessary. Maybe you're loaded enough at running back you'd consider sitting him in this matchup, but probably not.
Yeah, that's a good call. Hey, Gabe Davis, let's get it. Well, actually, let's ask an unbiased observer here. Since Marvin Dalton and I have a lot of riding on Gabe Davis versus Mike Evans, there's been times where Dalton comes in here, you know, thumping his chest, victory lapping after big Gabe Davis weeks. And then there's times where I come in doing the opposite during when Gabe Davis does the opposite. So how do you feel about Gabe Davis in this one? You know, there's the explosive potential, but there is the low floor that's presented itself too.
Yeah, I think, you know, you have to start him, right? That's just the nature of Gabe Davis, is that you have that low floor, but he's kind of that nitro button in your lineup, right? He'll get you those 30 points. He has that upside. And so, you know, he's not necessarily to be truthfully honest, he's not the wide receiver I'd prefer to target in my drafts, just because I prefer that higher floor and that target share. So obviously the polar opposite of that is Stephon Diggs, which, you know, of course everyone wants him, but Gabe Davis, it will be just fine here. And the thing is, you can't sit him because he'll obviously have, has 30 points on your bench, that's not, you know, that you don't want that either. So he'll be in there. I honestly wouldn't be surprised if this was the week where he had another one of those 50-yard touchdowns, because he didn't have it last week. So he's due for one here at some point. So put him in there, live with the low games, but the high games are obviously going to win you some weeks.
Dude, Gabe Davis set his season high with 7 targets last week. There has been no victory lapping here, believe me.
Trending up. Let's go. Yeah. Yeah,
I love that I can tell when Dalton's gonna talk before me, because he's like sitting back in his chair as Marvin's talking.
Perk up.
And then he boom pops right back up. Love it. All right, we're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, we'll preview the rest of this mysterious Week 9 slate. All right, next game up here, guys. We're back. Panthers at Bengals. Marvin, oh man, like. Some receivers, they don't get saved, but DJ Moore has been saved by PJ Walker, and it's a great thing to see, especially coming into this week, because the Bengals, they've got a lot of questions in the secondary now, with Jadobi Uze out for the season, torn ACL. They're playing like some rookies back there. Eli Apple's been banged up, and Eli Apple's always an inconsistent player. So, I mean, it's a good time to be in the DJ Moore business right now.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, he's been quietly consistent from a target share standpoint, has had a 20% target share every week this year. It just hasn't really translated into much.
Hasn't felt like it.
Exactly, yeah. And that's what happens when you have Baker Mayfield at quarterback. But what I was surprised to find is that before week 7, where he had his wide receiver 1 performance, his last top 12 performance was back in week 4 of the 2021 season. It's been a while for him, and now he's had back-to-back wide receiver 1 performances since the CMC trade. Wide receiver 6 in expected fantasy points, wide receiver 2 in target share. Now, part of that is also that Hail Mary with all those air yards. That'll boost your numbers a little bit, but I mean, the target share at 36.8%.
I'm gonna cut in there.
Yeah,
Hail Mary. Sort of like. I think he just like whipped that thing down there. Like he hit him in stride. Like if it was a Hail Mary, it's the best freaking Hail Mary executed of all time.
Good.
Like it was like PJ Walker's got a hose, bro. He can get that thing down there.
Yeah. He's not bad. And that's, you know, that's probably what DJ Moore needs at this point. Just pepper him with targets, you know, target him downfield. He's one of the most talented wide receivers in the league. He just needs a quarterback. And, you know, if PJ Walker, keeps things afloat until they finally find their solution, whenever that might be, I'm all for it. So DJ Moore, wide receiver 1 season, I think it's, you know, that might be a little generous, but I think he'll have those weeks and it might have that wide receiver 2 floor most of the time anyways.
Don, I know you want to talk about the backfield, but before you do that, just real quick, DJ Moore weekly rankings, rest of season rankings, where are we at now at this point?
DJ Moore leads the NFL in air yardage share over the last month and over that same time period in first down target share. So borderline top 15 at worst. So yeah, I mean, treating him as a wide receiver. Yeah, borderline wide receiver 1 moving forward, anywhere from 10 to 15 range type. I would have more. I'm all in.
Love it. All right. Talk to me about the backfield here with Donta Foreman coming off 2 big, big games.
Yeah, Chuba Hubbard's health is key here. He's practicing in a limited capacity Thursday. If he returns to action, looks like, you know, a timeshare and not a great offense, probably, not ideal. But Foreman looks so good. Maybe you're using him anyway. The real key here is if Hubbard has to sit this one out and you let Foreman go crazy like he did last week when he looked like Derrick Henry. So that's the key here is Hubbard's availability, because you're going to get a possible, top 10 fantasy back if he's not.
Yeah, I know that Hubbard is like kind of better, theoretically better on passing downs, but like Foreman's just a way better back. Like let's keep the Dont Foreman experience going regardless of Chuba Hubbard. Like you're trying to find some things, Panthers, that's something you can find right there. Bengals, pretty simple. I don't know that we needed a bunch of analysis on the Cincinnati Bengals. Like you start T. Higgins, you start Tyler Boyd, you probably starting Joe Burrow in this matchup, and like it would be nice if all the great use. Marvin, again, to bring back to your expected points, I'm sure Joe Mixon looks awesome in the expected points, and it's not been so great fantasy. Like let's hope, I guess, that this is the week it turns around.
Yeah, he's been great. I'm looking it up right now. He's the RB, so he's RB19 in points per game, which obviously he's had his down weeks, but he's the RB2 in expected fantasy points. That's a huge gap of what he could be versus what he is right now. And obviously he's being used in the passing game. He's their primary rusher. I mean, the workload is there. You know, Alvin Kamara is actually a perfect example of this, where he's kind of had those down games earlier in the week in this season, but was always, he's the RB1 right now in expected fantasy points. He always was up there, but that regression eventually hit. He had his big game. I think it's going to happen for Joe Mixon at some point. And, why not this game? Why not this game? I think he's going to have that big game at some point here.
Love it. All right, let's move on to the next game here. Vikings at Commanders. Marvin, the backfield on this team, you know, JD McKissick, by the way, not practicing, and we're coming off a big Antonio Gibson week, especially in the receiving game.
Yeah, you know, I might actually prefer Antonio Gibson than Brian Robinson in some of these matchups coming up. I was surprised to find that Antonio Gibson, over the last three games, ever since Brian Robinson became the starter, he actually has a higher expected fantasy value per game than Brian Robinson. And that's just simply the fact that he's getting the targets, right? He's RB6 in target share in that time span at 17.9%, behind only some of the elite receivers at running back in Kamara, CMC, Eckler, Ramondre. I mean, these are good guys to sit right behind here in target share. And so with that, I do think he is a flex option most weeks. And I would have never thought that losing that starting job would actually provide that boost in fantasy value. But here we are. I think he's just fine as a flex option going forward.
Yeah, I think we're definitely in that range. And I was kind of like, okay, Ron, when, you know, he said after the Thursday night game, I think it was again against the Chicago Bears, that game, he was like, oh, we didn't get Antonio Gibson enough involved. I'm like, oh, that's lip service. You've been trying to bench this dude for like 2 years. But then it's kind of turned around here of late, especially in the Taylor Heinicke experience. And like Brian Robinson, I know nobody wants to like talk bad about Brian Robinson, given what he survived being shot. Like he's back playing after that. But like he's definitely a very limited grinder back. And I think Antonio Gibson offers them more dynamism there. So I like that call a lot there. Dalton, on the Vikings side, they trade for TJ Hockenson. There's no more Irv Smith. Justin Jefferson, man, like it's a little weird that he hasn't scored a receiving touchdown since week one.
It is not a ton to add here. Just that exactly. He's due to score a touchdown. Hasn't since week one. Washington's allowed 9th most fantasy points to receivers. I would like to add, I did rank Gibson ahead of Brian Robinson this week for sure. Yeah, it's interesting how that's gone back and forth. But yeah, we talked about Minnesota last pod. Kirk Cousins disappointing YPA. Will the addition of Hawk help? Will maybe, you know, the further along in the new playbook help him as well too? But yeah, Jefferson's ready to explode. I moved him to my wide receiver one for this week, you know, with so many teams on bye. Felt like he's who I settled with as my top wide out for the week.
All I care about in the world in this game is the Vikings defense. Just don't embarrass ODU's finest Taylor Heinicke. We need him in the lineup as long as possible for all of my Terry McLaurin propaganda. Okay. Keep Taylor Heinicke safe. Don't embarrass him. We need to keep him on the field. I don't need to hear about Sam Howell. Certainly don't need to be hearing about Carson Wentz. We need Taylor Heinicke on the MF and field for the Washington Commanders. Okay. So Vikings defense, lay off ODU's finest. Let's keep this thing on the track here at this point. NFC West, Seahawks at Cardinals. There's been a lot of discussion about DeAndre Hopkins usage, Marvin. How are you feeling walking into this week?
Man, I'm loving it. For those that held on to DeAndre Hopkins through his suspension, you might just have a league winner here, to be honest, where you have him over the last, couple games. Obviously, very, very small sample size. Some of this will come down a little bit, but wide receiver one in target share, wide receiver one air yard share at 58.1%, which is unreal. That's going to come down a little bit, but that's still impressive. Wide receiver one in expected fantasy points at 19.7. He's wide receiver one by a pretty big margin here. And so when you're thinking about, you know, what this offense could look like, it's just unfortunate that Marquise Brown went down, who was on an absolute tear himself, right? But this offense could look a lot better when both are healthy. But for now, Hopkins is the guy. You know, there's that connection with Kyler Murray over the last couple of years, and it's just going to translate into fantasy production. And start him. Obviously, it's a no-brainer, but man, you can feel so confident in him being an elite wide receiver one going forward.
Yeah, and like the slot stuff was cool, that first matchup. It just is a nice credit to Cliff Kingsbury that he can actually be creative, stuff like that. But we do want Hopkins on the perimeter, Rondale Moore in the slot. Like, that's the ideal situation. Hopefully it's like not one of those, just some random game, like they're going to put Hopkins in the slot and that's going to completely ice out Rondale Moore. But that is certainly possible that can happen. But it's just a good credit. It's a good offensive coaching, and it's good for DeAndre Hopkins, who I think has like game that will age really well because he's a good route runner. He's better at separating and getting open than people give him credit for, but really we know he wins on technique, he wins on route running, and he wins in contested situations. So I feel like it's just all good news for DeAndre Hopkins the rest of the way. Dalton, on the other side of this here, how do we feel? Last time, I think these two teams have played each other already. Last time it was like expected to be a big DK Metcalf game, expected to be a big Tyler Lockett game, didn't really come to fruition there.
First of all, I was debating Hopkins for my number one receiver of the week. Love everything Marvin said there. He leads the NFL in air yards per game since returning. This is one of the highest over-unders of the week. Seattle's defense, though, it must be noted, has been so, so improved over the last month. And speaking of surprisingly good defenses, Arizona's held fantasy opponents or real-life opponents, wide receiver ones, by far the lowest this year. They've been the toughest for that. Now, I don't know what that means moving forward, especially this week. I mean, are you going to fade Metcalf and DFS because of it? It's unclear how healthy both Metcalf and Lockett are. It's crazy that they both played. I expected both to sit out last week, especially with Lockett dealing with an oblique injury as well. What an up-and-down game for him. But just worth noting that Arizona has defended wide receiver ones by far the best in the league if you're making DFS decisions. Obviously, in your normal league, you're playing Metcalf.
Yeah, for sure. I think Arizona is one of those teams that has like a big disparity between cornerback one to cornerback two. Like Byron Murphy's a pretty good player at cornerback one, but then the rest of the guys, like, they're pretty questionable there. So I think that might be part of the explanation. Let's move on here to Rams at Buccaneers. The disappointment bowl, I guess you could call it. Marvin, on the Bucs side of this, is this the, you say here, it's you're excited for Godwin to finally have his big breakout game. Is this the week for Chris Godwin to turn all those juicy targets and all those, I'm sure, again, the expected point metrics, is this finally going to be the week he puts it in the box score?
You know, I certainly think it might be, with obviously with Mike Evans, you know, garnering a lot of that attention anyways. You know, this is just the game that Godwin plays, right? He has the talent to be a lead wide receiver, but he doesn't have to be necessarily in this offense. And, and since week six, right, he's been the wide receiver eight in target share, 12.3 opportunities per game. They kind of mix in a couple rush attempts in there, if I remember right. Not necessarily valuable. It's the targets we want anyways, but he's averaged 4.5 fantasy points below expected in that time span. That tells you that something's going to happen here. He's getting the volume. He should be scoring more points. And I think he'll have to find the end zone eventually, right? I mean, we talk about regression all the time. A lot of that happens with touchdowns when you're getting all these targets and just not finding the end zone. Now, granted, this isn't the same Buccaneers offense in years past, but I still think Godwin is still a very safe play. But if he gets that touchdown with the volume that he's getting, he'll get you a wide receiver one performance one of these weeks. And I do think it might be this week.
Yeah, and the Rams, they're the only team that have played zone coverage on more than 90% of their defensive snaps. Like, they are the most extreme zone-heavy defense in the NFL, and that does seem to line up for Chris Godwin, who I know from, like, a yards standpoint has a pretty – he could beat man coverage, he could beat press coverage, but he has a pretty high split in terms of, I think yards per route run against zone coverage historically. I think a lot of that is because he's a slot player. Tom Brady will just – feed you as the slot guy against zone coverage. So it does line up too from like an actual strategic standpoint there with Chris Godwin. Of course, Dalton, I'm only interested in Mike Evans and how much he can dunk on you on the other side of things. But talk to me about the Rams passing game with Cooper Kupp, the great Cooper Kupp, potentially on the injury report here.
Yeah, of course, it makes it tougher with the being a later afternoon start, one of just two, just horrible scheduling by the NFL, very frustrating. So we may not know his status. I mean, he's missing time. He has tissue swelling in that ankle that was just the most frustrating injury of the season by far. He should not have been in the game. So it's something to pay attention to because the Rams cannot run no matter who plays quarterback. Allen Robinson, unfortunately, is washed. So Higbee's going to get a million targets. And I was wrong with him too, right there with you. And Van Jefferson or Ben Skowronek is going to be like a fantasy sleeper this week. I'm not sure which one. What?
Allen Robinson is the sleeper pick.
He's the beneficiary.
Okay. Come on, Ben Skowronek. Van Jefferson goes out there and gets zero targets. Runner wind sprints. They took Allen Robinson out of the cardio club and they put Van Jefferson right in the cardio club. Like that's what this offense is at this point. Look, Robinson, I think, has leveled off a little bit. Like he's looked good the last couple. Like I know we're 5 for 54. That's what we're getting excited about with Allen Robinson at this point. But he actually looks pretty good these last two games, Panthers by 49ers. Like these two games he's looked pretty good. Like I don't think he's washed. There's just a lot of problems with this offense beyond Allen Robinson. So I mean, show Allen Robinson a little respect. You're gonna put him in the sleeper column before you're gonna put these other two goofballs. This is how bad it is with Allen Robinson. Is it's like, oh, he's a sleeper at this point. Like it shouldn't be this way.
Yeah, you're not buying my Skowronek alpha take. That's fair.
No.
I will throw something else at you in here. Even though the game script may help the Bucks, but I'm going to throw Leonard Fournette in my bus column this week, everyone's favorite column, to let me know how they feel about that. But he's getting 2.9 yards per carry at home, only averaging 11 touches over the last 2 weeks. The Rams have pretty much shut down running backs. And if you look at their season stats, even that's misleading. They've weirdly had to face Christian McCaffrey in back-to-back games. Have not allowed a fantasy back to reach 15 fantasy points other than CMC. Fournette is like toward the very bottom of the league. If you scroll rush yards over expectation, Rashad White, you figure to get more and more looks. So I don't love Fournette, even though Tampa Bay maybe, you know, the game script may really help him here. But the receivers are getting healthier too. You know, Godwin's going to get his and Evans. So maybe fewer targets for Fournette too. So I'm fading Fournette this week.
Yeah, I like that call. And anytime I can double, triple, quadruple down on Allen Robinson in the year 2022, I guess I'm going to go ahead and do it. So Dalton and I are taking big swings in this game. Let's move on to the primetime games here. Sunday Night Football, Titans at Chiefs. Marvin, I will start with you on this one. The Chiefs wide receiver core has been a little hit or miss all year, but one guy is starting to look like a pretty promising pick in fantasy.
For sure, yeah. So Juju has been one of the most efficient fantasy wide receivers over the last 2 weeks, where he's wide receiver 5 in fantasy points per game, averaging an absurd 11.5 fantasy points over expected per game, which is nuts. I mean, you know, part of that will have to regress a little bit. The concern with me still, and this has been kind of a trend for him all season, is that he obviously gets some of those shorter targets, and he'll rely on yards after the catch, which, you know, truthfully, my model just doesn't like that as much. That's why he's wide receiver 30 in expected fantasy points in that time span, 18.8% target share. But the thing is, it's been encouraging. At least this last game, we did see an improvement in some of where that volume is coming from, some deeper targets. And at the same time, with him, he plays with Pat Mahomes. It's the same thing with Gabe Davis, right? If he was on a different offense, you'd say, well, yeah, you know, that 15% target share, no, I don't want that in a Jets offense. But if it's the Bills or if it's the Kansas City Chiefs, you'll take that because at any point they can, you know, break out this game wide open and have, you know, 2-3 touchdowns at any, you know, in a quarter. So you want to have a part of that. And so Juju is obviously in your lineup. I think it's encouraging at least to see what we've some of that improvement in fantasy production over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, for sure. I think Juju can still be kind of like a low end wide receiver too. He just, as long as the role stays secure and as long as he's out there with Pat Mahomes, that is really all that matters. I'm interested to see how they mix in Kadarius Toney in this game. It sounds like they're going to. He's magically healthy now that he's no longer with the New York Giants. That should be fun. Marvin, what's your Kadarius Toney take? Because I ask everybody that comes on the show.
I mean, you know, I don't know if I can expect all too much from him, but if you know, we obviously saw last year there was that flashes of just like elite efficiency, right? I mean, and that's something. And so if he's healthy, if he's out there, I think it might take a while for him to really, you know, get up to speed. But if he's out there, I think he's got the talent to be that guy. And for me, man, it's just so sad that we can't see Sky Moore even get like an opportunity, man. It's been he was a decent prospect and second round draft capital, and now they're kind of bringing in someone else. But you know, we'll see what happens. Anything can happen the second half, and you know, obviously for dynasty purposes, though, it hurts him too.
Yeah, he's gonna have to be a 2023 guy, and he'll be. I'm not looking forward to like the dynasty debates on Sky Moore in the offseason. Oh, yeah. You know, the face planter stuff, all of that. Well, oh boy, it'll be fun. Can't wait to spend my summer doing that. Can't wait. All right, let's talk about the other side of this here, Dalton. And it's probably the most like simple team to talk about, the Tennessee Titans, because it's just Derrick Henry. Nothing. I mean, you're like, the question is Ryan Tannehill's health, but even if Ryan Tannehill's healthy, Dalton, like, does it even really matter?
So I added Kansas City's defense everywhere I could when they were available in many places, because they just had a bye. Yeah, Andy Reid coming off a bye, 12.5-point favorites against a Titans offense that's either going to be starting a badly compromised Ryan Tannehill, who's immobile, or Malik Willis, who attempted one pass last week. I mean, they're not going to benefit from that. One second half pass last week. And looked, you know, it's the most raw passer in the league right now. Love him for fantasy, but that's just because of the rushing. It could get ugly with an opposite game script of last week. You know, they just played a Houston team that couldn't stop the run, even though they knew it was coming. Chiefs, by the way, top 10 in pressure rate, their defense. So whether it's Tannehill or Willis, I like the Chiefs as a fantasy D this week. And then conversely, it's the Titans have shut down all running backs. So, you know, it's tough to go the Pacheco or CEH route there. So expect a big game from the passing attack from the Chiefs and then defensively as well.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see, like, if Malik Willis plays, like, can he give us anything? Because even the rushing wasn't there, really. Why bother when you can just hand it to Derrick Henry over and over and over again? But they probably.
Oh, by the way, he's hurt too. He's playing with his foot injury, and he's hurt. I mean, this could get ugly. Yes. Andy Reid coming off a bye at home in prime time. Yeah.
Dontrell Hilliard's another guy that, like, we talked about him on the waiver show with Andy earlier this week, that, like, you know, you might want to think about him as a potential stash just in case anything ever happens with Derrick Henry, you know, and obviously the miles add up and everything age wise, career arc wise with Derrick Henry. Like, my God, you know, I don't want anything to happen to Derrick Henry. Love Derrick Henry, but just in case, keep Dontrell Hilliard on your waiver wire speed dial. Last game here. Ravens at Saints, 48 over under. Marvin, I love the guy you're highlighting here for this game.
Yeah, Isaiah Likely. I mean, he has just been honestly impressive. I mean, he was what, the preseason MVP, right? I mean, he was just lighting it up, right? But this past week, I mean, on a 67% snap share, he had a 20.6% target share. So it's not even on all the snaps, 30.9% air yard share. Those numbers are essentially Mark Andrews and Travis Kelce level of volume right there, with the 20s target share, the air yard share up in the 30s. I mean, that's what, you know, what his upside could be. And obviously he just slots right in as the Mark Andrews replacement. I love what we've seen from him, obviously. And he's been a good receiver even back in college. And so this is, he's a guy that you need to roster even if you don't have Mark Andrews. But you know, if you do, you definitely need to get him in there because he'll be a tight end one most likely, and makes it a little tougher. Hopefully Mark Andrews can play, but you know, with the Monday night game, it just, you know, kind of limits your options too.
Yeah, really frustrating with the Monday night thing. You're going to have to kind of read the tea leaves. He did not practice on Thursday. I would get it if you didn't want to like risk that, because I mean, I guess you can add Taysom Hill for this game too, like as another potential replacement if you have Mark Andrews. Although I feel like Taysom Hill's probably pretty decently rostered. 81% route participation for Isaiah Likely, really, really good last week. I feel like even honestly, if Mark Andrews plays, I think Isaiah Likely could still be a sleeper at the tight end spot, regardless. And you know, everybody's hurting for tight ends. We got six teams on bye. We barely have like 12 tight ends with a pulse we can play in fantasy anyways. Like, I think Isaiah Likely makes sense regardless there. Dalton, we know we're not going to get Rashad Bateman in this game. That's a huge bummer. Devin Duvernay pops up every now and again. I like Duvernay as a potential sleeper in this game as well, as like a speed slot design touches guy. But man, things are kind of crumbling around Lamar right now, rest of season.
Yeah, I want a temperature check on your guys' thoughts on Lamar's rest of season value. 5 touchdowns over the last 5 games after that hot start. Bateman's not coming back anytime soon. Andrews is banged up. He is still running. I mean, obviously, he's still a top 10 fantasy QB, but would you prefer a Tua I'm not going to try to pronounce Tuangaloa. Did I get it right? Over him. Or even our guy, Justin Field. You may think that's crazy. Maybe I am crazy, but I think there's like a greater chance that Fields has more fantasy value than Lamar Jackson over the rest of this season. Am I off my rocker?
I'll let you answer, Marvin, but it is an interesting point that like to bring up Fields in this, because they're both running, and like if Mark Andrews is hurt and Rashad Bateman is hurt, who's got a better supporting cast right now, Justin Fields or, and you know, like they're doing the old dusty running back shuffle again with the Kenyon Drake, like Gus Edwards is banged up. It's like Kenyon Drake and Justice Hill and these boys in the backfield. Like who's got a, and there's still offensive line questions for Baltimore too. So like who's got a better supporting cast right now? Like the Darnell Mooney and Chase Claypool, or like DeMarcus Robinson and Devin Duvernay. Like that's what we're talking about here with their Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, I was going to say, you take away Mark Andrews and you basically have the Chicago Bears right there with a rushing quarterback and not much to throw to. So, yeah, I mean, I echo those sentiments, Dalton. I just don't know if you can really expect that same ceiling that we saw in the first 3 weeks now with Rashad Bateman gone. We've seen the numbers that he's just not quite as good with Rashad Bateman out. And Bateman might not necessarily pop from a fantasy standpoint, but from a real life standpoint, he matters for that offense so tremendously. And not having him in there, it hurts what they want to do, what they probably plan to do entering the season. And so I think you got to lower him a little bit, where honestly, I don't hate the call of taking Justin Fields over Lamar Jackson, especially if the matchup is favorable.
Because he misses Hollywood too. You know, they didn't really address that either. I mean, they just expected Bateman to step right in. Over those last five games, when I say the touchdowns have been down, 6.0 YPA on the season, a career low YPA, 7.0 for Lamar. I mean, I think this is a real, again, he's going to be a top 10 fantasy QB because of his rushing, but I was really bullish on him. I had him third, you know, entering the season. But I would prefer those, a few other guys, given the injuries in Baltimore right now.
I'm not sure what breaks my heart more about this season. Rashad Bateman's foot, Elijah Moore's like feud with the Jets and all that, or Dalton immediately like casting Allen Robinson aside as the sleeper and being like, oh, it's got to be Ben Skowronek. I say all this and Ben Skowronek is totally getting in the box this week. If there's no Cooper Kupp, he's 100% scoring a touchdown and he's going to make me look like an idiot. Just before we get out of here, let's talk about the Saints. You know, Dalton, you and I talk about how concentrated this offense is at this point. Like it's Chris Olave and it's Alvin Kamara, and that's literally all we care about in fantasy. Obviously, I keep mentioning Taysom Hill. If you're desperate at tight end, you can do that dance. But Marvin, Saints offense right now has looked much easier to project, at least for fantasy, with Andy Dalton back there.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of talked about the guy that I wrote about in my article that's coming out. Should be out by the time listeners, you know, hear this. And I highlighted Chris Olave as a guy that you can trust going forward. And obviously, I just, you know, love what we've seen from him. Wide receiver two from actually borderline wide receiver one from an expected fantasy points, you know, from in that metric. And he's kind of underperformed with that, but the volume has been there for him. And you know, I think you tweeted this out that it's not just easy routes that he's running. He's running complicated routes out there and he's succeeding with it. And you know, from a rookie wide receiver, he currently has a higher target share than Ja'Marr Chase and Jalen Waddle in their rookie seasons. That just shows you like he is a good wide receiver. He's historically a pretty good wide receiver from, you know, from the past couple classes that we've seen. So plug him in there as your wide receiver too. I like him and I don't think you even need to debate whether, you know, plug him in or not. He's in there. He should be.
Oh, it's just a shame he didn't declare early. He really could have been good.
Oh my Chris gosh, Olave. Right?
Yeah, dude, Chris Olave is that dude, man. I shouldn't have even brought his name up because I could sit here and talk about it for 10 minutes. And yeah, you're right. Like the legit big boy NFL routes are having him run. It's so impressive what he's doing right now. But Marvin, you and I are going to talk more about Chris Olave, I believe, on Sunday morning on FFL. So everybody should definitely make sure to check that out. Make sure you check out Marvin's expected fantasy points column on YahooSports.com, the website. Also, while you're there, make sure you check out Dalton's Start Sit column that he busts his ass to do every single week. I know that is a big big one that you pump out there, Dalton. So I so sorry for taking you on two podcasts this week, but the people need more Dalton. They need more flamethrower takes, pal. So that's on you for being so great.
Appreciate that. Thanks, Armin.
All right, that is going to do it for us. You can follow Marvin on Twitter at @FF_MarvinE, a fellow underscore bro. Love to see it. You can follow Dalton at @DaltonDeldon. You can also follow me if you want to at @MattHarmon_BYB. And if you don't feel like following all three of us, I mean, come on, I get it. Two of the three, at least follow Marvin and Dalton. You just follow at @YahooFantasy and they'll retweet our very few good tweets into your timeline if and when we have them. As always, the great Scott Pianowski will be back with me on Monday morning with a recap of this week's games. Until then, we're out.